It's Harvest Public Media's Field Notes. I'm Jessica Najunas. Today on the show, in agriculture, it's not just one long growing season. In 2011, there were plenty of off-farm distractions with ag politics, trends, and issues, or big news stories, as agriculture reporters call them. And this list of ag issues, just in this year alone, is way too long to cover in 8 minutes. So I've asked Harvest Public Media reporters, farmers, and consumers which story in agriculture was big news for them this year. First up is farmer Richard Oswald from Atchison County, Missouri.
Well, I can think of so many big stories in agriculture, things that happened and things that didn't happen.
So here's what happened in northwest Missouri, and also in a lot of areas in the Midwest this spring and summer. Massive flooding.
We were flooded away from our home for over 100 days this year.
Oswald's losses are valued at $30,000 through his insurance, but he says that number doesn't come close to portraying the real damage to his farm. 1,400 acres of corn and soybeans were destroyed, a value of about $1 million.
I've been to Washington twice talking to Congress about the Corps of Engineers management on the Missouri River with the flood control system and talking about all the bad things that happened to people here in my area, up and down the Missouri River Valley, in the areas that were most impacted by the flood.
In Kansas City, Missouri, John Staples wonders about food, people, and eating.
I'm just very interested in agriculture because, I guess, who wouldn't be is the question.
This year, at the end of October, the world's population hit 7 billion. Much of the news surrounding this big story had to do with something on Staples' mind.
I think the biggest story is population. You know, the question is, how do we feed people? How do we distribute food so that those people can be fed? And then all the other issues in agriculture, you know, kind of come down to that, I think. It's just a big web of, what we've created as human beings.
Here's a thought from Amelia Miller in Columbus, Michigan. She's worried about child labor laws on farms.
That sticks out to me as important because agriculture has been such an influence on my life.
It's a story we've covered at Harvest Public Media, and it's all about a law that would keep young people from working on the farm.
As a child, I had been around the horses and around the farm, and then later on working for the farm. That taught me a lot of things. It taught me about bookkeeping. It taught me about science before I even understood the scientific principles behind feed rations and behind care, health care for animals. Before I understood the science, I was learning on the farm the practical application of all of that science.
The next story comes from southwest Kansas, and when news comes out of this part of the country, you know it's a big deal. Harvest Public Media reporter Eric Durbin drove out to a winter wheat field just outside of Garden City, Kansas, and he brings us the big agriculture story from his state.
The big thing this year in Kansas has been the drought. It's been going on for about a year now. So last time we were in a corn field, and now I'm in a winter wheat field. So we've kind of come full circle with the growing seasons here in the drought. They've got a crop loss total of about $1.75 billion in the state of Kansas. And corn is accounting for about $1 billion of that. And winter wheat, about $270 million. It affects everybody. It doesn't just affect the crops. If the farmers don't have the money, then the grain elevators in the town will suffer. Manufacturers, the parts suppliers will also suffer it. So the drought has improved a bit in the last 3 months regarding the intensity of it. You know, there's still parts of southwest and south central Kansas that are in extreme and exceptional drought. 20% of the state last year at this time was in drought. Now, and this year, more than 50% of the state is in some form of drought at this time.
Now, Beth Hoffman, a food reporter from Berkeley, California, who's one of the brains behind Food and Tech Connect, a website that strives to relate food and agriculture issues to technology and what each can do for the other.
The big ag story of the year, I think, was the Farm Bill. There was a Budget Control Act that was passed, and there was supposed to be these large cuts that the super committee is supposed to find $1.2 trillion of cuts. So the Agriculture Committee came up with suggestions of about $23 billion in cuts for the Farm Bill. They did so behind closed doors. And so the Agricultural Committee came out with these recommendations, but the Super Committee overall failed to find cuts and to make recommendations. It will still be up for discussion in this coming year. It's up to be discussed in 2012.
So in a way, it was sort of like the big ag story of the year that never was.
It's the big ag story that never was, exactly. And the story that never really happened and never came to fruition.
So regardless of what was going to happen with the Farm Bill or the Super Committee this year, Hoffman and the rest of Food and Tech Connect felt regular people need to understand what's actually in the Farm Bill. But they found it's very difficult to translate complicated agriculture speak to everyday consumers. So they sponsored a day where food and agriculture nerds, so to speak, could break down numbers, trends, and topics in the Farm Bill and turn that into digestible information about farm and food.
The idea was to take all of that, to have the designers and developers and the food policy experts get together and share their expertise to come up with something that would actually visually display this to the public and be able to be used in the media.
They called it the Farm Bill Hackathon, and it took place on December 3rd in a conference room in Manhattan. Imagine lots of people hunched over laptops, featured guests giving speeches on how to best create a graphic. Each group came up with some sort of creation. Beth Hoffman describes one of the more visually striking images.
They particularly wanted to create a graphic that would show the amount of each dollar that was going to farmers. So for each consumer dollar we spend on steak in the store, how much of that was actually going to a farmer who raised the cattle? The graphic has four cows. That's to represent the four companies who control 86% of the beef market. And the graphic goes on to have some different factoids.
Such as, since 2000, 141,000 cattle farmers have been stomped out of business. And there's been a 49% increase in the price of beef in about 11 years.
In the end, the relationship to the Farm Bill here is that these are the kinds of policies that could be in the Farm Bill. So the more that people can use graphics or visuals, even video is, and radio to describe what's going on. And those things, I think, tend to have even more of an impact than perhaps the written word.
And you can find that graphic about the beef industry at harvestpublicmedia.org. Now to Iowa to check in with Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Masterson.
Well, it's been a record year for Iowa and the Midwest for farmland values. They shot up 32% in Iowa and a whopping 38% in Nebraska. And that's on top of already high land values. Farm price tags have been climbing over the last decade. All this has some people worried about a bubble, similar to the crash we saw with the housing market in 2008.
So should farmers be worried about a bubble?
Well, it depends on who you ask. The Wall Street Journal has cited some industry experts concerned this farmland roller coaster could crash. But here at Iowa State University, one economist says indicators show the high land values are supported. Extension economist Mike Duffy says a key question is,
are we going to take on a lot of debt? And at this point in time, I don't see that happening. I think the lenders are being a lot more cautious, particularly than they were in the early or the late 70s. We do have about three-fourths of the land that's held without debt.
And he adds that most of the people buying farmland recently are farmers who use it to farm, not just for an investment. And part of the reason farmers can afford such high price tags is because what they grow on farms has brought home big money. In short, it's been a good year to sell corn and other grain. But Duffy says he doesn't expect prices to stay this high, especially when you look at the volatility in the global economy.
So it sounds like high prices mean good things for farmers who want to sell their land and their crops, but what about those who want to break into the business?
Yeah, there is another side to high prices. A reality of high grain and farmland prices is that cash rent has been rising. That affects a lot of farmers, considering more than half of Iowa's farmland is rented. The cost of fuel, fertilizer, and seeds has also been growing. And that, combined with high land prices, has made it pretty hard for beginning farmers to get a leg up in the biz. But really, the lingering question is, how long will the good times last? Duffy and others have said commodity prices will eventually lower. But Duffy says he doesn't expect a collapse like the 1980s farm crisis. Instead, he thinks the market will adjust by lowering farmland values, but not sending them into a tailspin.
That's it for Field Notes. For more, check out harvestpublicmedia.org.
Harvest Public Media is a reporting team based in four Midwestern states. Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. Harvest Public Media is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.